You're listening to Standing Room Only right here on Kill Radio. Here with Chris from Sabretooth Tiger. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And can you hear me all right?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
Can the people out there in Radio Land hear you? I'm not so sure. No, they can. They can. It's all good. What was the name of the song that we just
listened to? That was Argentina.
And what album was that on?
That's off our record. It's called Extinction is Inevitable.
Excellent. Actually, when did this come out? I don't think
that
I've seen this
out,
one before.
It came out last year and in August. Yeah, in August.
Is this your first CD?
It's our first full-length record,
right.
LP.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where can people get it if they like it?
Well,
or if they don't like it.
If they
don't like it,
they can get it at they can get it anywhere, actually. But our website is probably the easiest place to follow the links. It's sabertoothtiger.net. And you can go to it's available anywhere, actually, at Amoeba and then on iTunes and all that kind of crap.
And this large gorilla looking gentleman holding the machine gun in the suit and the thing, where can we find him? Because I understand he's still a member of your band.
Well, actually, he
Knuckles, isn't that his name?
Yeah, he's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
we had to kick him out.
He's not very well spoken. Not a grunts. It's a cool CD. I like it. Who did? I don't usually go into so much detail about the CD, but I like all the artwork on here.
You should open the poster up.
I'm afraid my head's going to explode with happiness if I do that.
Actually, we worked really hard on the artwork with.
Oh, that's awesome! I'm going to put this up
with Sonny from GSL. So we went back and forth with Sonny a lot with ideas, and he really did all the layout. And he's kind of amazing that way. He's really good at that shit. But yeah,
and he just drew it. He just
no.
Okay.
We all kind of collaborated,
right.
And found a lot of images.
Oh, okay.
We had an idea of what we were looking for, but we knew that. We had a sense of what we were trying to go for,
like,
and then
like
he would come up with ideas, and we'd just go back and forth a lot.
Like the bear with the plastic explosives.
Well, the bear, it's a bear. We tried to throw in animals that were going extinct or would go extinct.
Right.
You know, and so there was a lot of that stuff going on, if you know what I mean.
So it's kind of, you have a message going on in your artwork and obviously in your music too. Well, quite a few messages. I mean, it says right on the album that you're punk. Wait, I read it before.
Oh, it was on the sticker that was.
Oh, it was on the sticker?
I don't know what it said.
I think Jaime stole the sticker and walked away with it. So he wanted it for his own collection. It said something about being like punk rock activism music of death or something.
Yeah, well, of death, yeah. Is that.
He's on.
That wasn't our. I don't want to get into it, but we didn't write that.
Okay. It was a ghostwriter. Actually, make sure your switch is on that microphone.
No switch.
There's no switch? Then we can't help you. I'm sorry. Do you want to. Huh. Yeah, there might be something amiss with that microphone. You guys might have to share a microphone here in our high-tech opulent studio at the
that's bullshit.
Yeah, now we can hear you. Why don't we, since we have two of you in here now, why don't we go through the entire band presence and hear your names and what you do for the band.
Barley.
Aaron, and I am I play the axe.
Literally, I hear it's actually an axe.
Yeah, it is.
You have to sharpen.
It's an axe. And I just bash it. I bash the axe, and I yell words.
An axe basher.
Some people try to call it singing, and I would beg to differ.
Yeah, why be pigeonholed?
Yeah, exactly. Like singing. Singing is for singers. And I'm not one of them.
All right, Chris, what's your name?
Chris. And
thanks for that.
What was the question?
What do you do in the band? I know it's a hot political topic,
no,
but we've got to get into
it. I play bass
and occasionally vocals. I've got your fact sheet right here, and it does not lie.
Well, yeah, Aaron and I split the vocals.
He
screams, I scream, and we all scream.
And Dave Ferreira is the other person in your
band.
He's
a drummer,
and
he
hits the sticks.
He's hitting the sticks right now with his day job band. Day job band, yeah.
And that's the name of it?
No, it's named. He's named. He plays for a little band called Herman's Hermits.
Okay. Nice. And he's hitting people with his sticks right now. On the record, you had other people, though. You had John Theodore, right, and Aaron Garcia. Is that correct?
Yeah. Aaron Garcia we played with for, I mean, basically from our first show, well, about 5 months before our first show until we got our shit together and actually booked a show. And then for about, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years maybe almost, year and a half.
Am I blowing your mind, Chris, that I have all this information already prepared?
You have more information than we do. I'm like, what? And now he is the writer, DJ, producer, not writer lyrically, but musical writer for Brother Reed.
Oh, excellent.
The rap group. Cool. Phenomenal rap group.
Yeah, I do have all of your information. Now, Aaron, I understand that when you were five, you were plagued by bad dreams. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Bad dreams. Monsters, usually, sometimes falling off cliffs, and very, just occasionally, a plane crash.
Let's hear it from a caller. Here in the Kill Radio studio.
Hello, caller.
I'm on the air.
You are on the air, my friend. What's your name?
My name is Rodolfo Robles. I just got out of county, and I'd like to say buena suerte to everybody, and I'd like to say God bless the United States.
What's your name?
Rodolfo Robles. Rudy. Call me Rudy Guadalupe.
Okay.
I just want to say, everybody, listen to your radio, like, really intently, because tonight's show is going to be very, very informative, and I'd like to say, everybody, unite. Please, God bless America.
Did you just say that you just got out of prison?
Well, I got a county, yeah. They let me loose. I got on a 7-day furlough.
Nice.
So I'm just taking my medicines. I got the ankle bracelet on. I'm ready to party.
You guys haven't been on my show before. You don't know what goes on here.
Well, I wanted to tell Rudy that...
that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, anything could happen tonight. It's one of those nights.
And the reason I was late was I was actually paying Rudy $40 to say that it was going to be a great show tonight. So it was perfect. It worked out perfect.
The check's in the mail, man.
God bless you.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Who is this?
Awesome. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And by the check's in the mail, you actually meant the mail human.
Yeah, right? And by check, I meant the Czechoslovakian. Yeah.
Yeah. The check is in the mail. It's actually.
I guess it's not Czechoslovakian anymore, is
it? No. But it's an old, we call that one a 1-2.
Chris, you know about things like the world. What do we call them now? They're just checks, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Quit bugging me, kid. I want to hear another one of your songs, and then we can get into some real personal questions here. The number again is 213-252-0998 here in the studio. Give us a call.
Before you do that, can I just say something, since it's quarter past the hour?
Yes.
We should play The Nation Blue, which I brought in, a band that we're going on tour with in about 2 weeks. They're from Australia, all the way from Melbourne. And you should check that out.
Is it just one track?
They just put out a new record called Protest Songs, and we can't wait for them to get here. They're good blokes. Do they say blokes in Australia?
But I want to say fuck you to Matt from The Nation Blue.
Don't use fucking bad language on my fucking show.
And only because he gave me a Nation Blue CD that after the first four songs, the fifth one started skipping, then the sixth worse, and then the seventh actually made the CD stop working in my car, and now it doesn't work anymore. So that's a big fuck you to Matt from The Nation Blue.
So I hope you're listening, Matt. Is it just one track? Yeah?
Yeah, just play the first track.
All right. So once again, we're listening to?
If you're going to play The Nation Blue, this is...
Yes.
Nation Blue, The Nation Blue.
All right. Standing room only on killradio.org. You got more to say?
No, that's it.
You're a chatty Cathy tonight.
No.
Standing Room Only here on Kill Radio, sitting in with Sabretooth Tiger. Got Aaron and Chris in the studio.
Chris is busy signing autographs.
Yeah, we've got a little autograph station here. If you want to get your autograph, come on down to One Radio Center here in Los Angeles.
True.
13th floor. Very lucky place for Kill Radio. You know, we used to broadcast out of Rockefeller Center. They kicked us out of there. So
yeah,
it was tough.
I know. You know why? Those guys are punks.
They are punks. They're not even like, they don't even have, they're not even punk with a message, like I read on your sticker.
Oh, yeah. The other kind of punks, like.
The other, yeah.
Total jerks.
Total assholes.
Rockefeller. Fuck you. Sorry. Excuse my language.
You guys are going on tour. Let's hear about it. What's happening? What's going on? Big
Chris,
tour, right?
Chris Pumpkin. Set that up. I just heard about it tonight, actually.
Yeah? Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't even know why I'm here, actually. What?
Is that the other mic? Is the other mic working?
Nope, it's this one. And I have to hold it with both hands, like the lead singer of Creed.
Right.
Is that guy still Christian?
Or an angel will die. Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It was always that big rumor, and then you're like, is it really true? I've never really heard him say anything about God, but it was the whole big, I don't know, Creed, Christianity conspiracy.
Creed extravaganza. I heard it was true, actually.
I don't know. Crank those levels on number 3.
We've got them all. Okay, try it again.
Check.
No, it's not. I think it's the microphone. Here, the mic is broken.
Chris, you talk about the tour because you know all the dates better than I.
Yeah, talk about the tour, and I'm going to swap out that mic.
Just start talking about it.
Just talk for 7 minutes straight about nothing but the tour.
Well,
what kind of napkins are you going to use? Are you going to have a corn dog?
No.
All right, let's hear the important details.
Oh, okay. So, let's see. We start off on the 17th of August at the Echoplex, and we are playing with A for Attack, and then we go to San Pedro. If anybody in San Pedro is listening, we're playing at Harold's Place. And, doing about 7 shows in 9 days, and going up to the Bay Area, Santa Cruz, Oakland, San Francisco.
How long are you going to be up there in the Bay Area?
About 3 or 4 days. 4 days.
All right, cool. One of my favorite places, actually.
You know, it's really weird because I used to live with a... I lived in Berkeley in the mid-90s. And
Knew that, actually. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, and at the time, my roommate, Jason, was playing in a band called St. James Infirmary. And they were really good. They were on Allied Recordings, and then I think Allied got bought up or taken in by Alternative Tentacles. But they're actually playing with us in Oakland, which is a really bizarre coincidence because they haven't played in like 8 years or 10 years, and they're just getting back together because it turns out that the bass player knows Matt, the Australian. So it's this kind of full circle thing. So
right.
They're actually playing with us, and it should be fun because this is their first time they played in 10 years.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The chord.
Where can, if we have any listeners in the Bay Area, where can they find you?
We're playing in Oakland at 21 Grand, and we're playing at the Hemlock Tavern in San Francisco, and we're playing at a place called The Perg in Santa Cruz. But all the dates are listed on our website or our MySpace page, but I always like to give the website, sabertoothtiger.net.
Now, there isn't time for the website. What's the MySpace page?
Fuck. The name of that thing we just said.
MySpace.com/sabertoothtiger.
Yeah. And it's spelled, nobody knows how to spell our name, so I'm going to have to spell it.
Uh-huh.
How do you, you already know.
S-A-B-E-R-T-O-O-T-H-T-I-G-E-R.
Well, okay, the first word is the problem, right? Everybody uh-huh. like spells S-A-B-E-R-E.
Right.
It's S-A-B-E-R. They think they're French.
Because they're quitters.
They are quitters.
Yeah. Quitters is for Sabres.
Q-U, wait, what are we spelling? S-A-B-E-R-T-O-O-T-H.
Yes.
Tiger. We've been called Sabretooth. We've been called Saber Dudes.
Yeah.
Sabretude.
I like Saber Dudes.
Yeah.
Some Saber Dudes t-shirts for your fans.
So do I, but Chris just wasn't into
our
the
three
idea.
Fans in Riverside,
yeah,
actually.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
We have two fans from... No, they're from San Bernardino.
Oh, yeah.
But they were imported to Riverside to kind of, you know, do some gerrymandering.
Yeah, they're doing a little bit of, they're doing our work.
What?
We call it God's work.
What is this guy talking about?
We sent our two fans around the world to tell other people to be fans, and it didn't work.
God.
So they're back, and they still come to all the shows, though.
God appreciates it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know. She sure does.
She definitely does. What are some of the... okay, well, you disagree with your sticker. I get that. But what... No. But what are some of the messages that you're trying to promote through your music?
I actually write about massages. So we have that give and take situation.
The massages?
I write the massage songs and Chris writes the message
songs. What type
songs.
Of massages are you trying to promote? Full back massages? Full frontal?
You know, honestly, it's really hard to talk about this. I mean, it's like you can read the lyrics and they're all on the site. But I mean...
Well, like in general.
Well, let me put it this way. This is a really...
I mean, they're not pro-Bush.
This is a good topic because it is a really hard thing to write about... politicized lyrics in a way that you don't come off sounding like a douchebag.
Right.
Right. You got to, and it's like, and you know, I think, you know, you just, I don't know, you just, there's
how you present the issues.
How you present it is important, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and whatever, and there, but there's a lot of things. I mean, it's a lot of things that I feel in my daily life or whatever, and like you just express it. I mean, that's, you know, of course, like anybody who would want to write a song, you know, I find, songs like 99% of the songs that write about love songs about somebody's girlfriend completely fucking boring, and it drives me up the wall because that's all you fucking hear. It's like, does anybody, I mean, is that all they fucking think
especially
about?
Especially when it's like, I love you, you left me, you came back, you left me again. Yeah, why'd you run over my grandpa with
the
car?
Dot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that shit doesn't get enough, like, you know, people aren't like calling that out enough.
I hate that shit. But I'd like to take a moment to say hello to my girlfriend on the air. No, go ahead.
Not that I hate girlfriends. I just hate songs about girlfriends.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You have to make that very clear.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you did want to sound like a douchebag in your songs, what would you say?
Maybe I probably do, but
I don't think you do.
I don't know.
And
I mean,
I represent the entire public. So.
Oh, I've read reviews of the record that are otherwise.
No, there was only one bad review I think we've seen.
Yeah,
and
funny.
It was funny.
It was good.
Pretty good.
He was actually right most of the time, I have to say.
You're not going to get out of it, though. I want you to say something to sound like a douchebag.
Well,
this is the worst radio ever. I'm sorry.
I mean, I would say for me, I feel the same way. It's like try to write songs about... I mean, don't try to write about anything. It's like, fuck, I'm frustrated. And our songs are kind of fast and loud. And you don't want to be like... I mean, for me, like, when we play those songs and you, like, want to get something off your chest. I mean, at least for me. You just kind of want to get something off your chest. And to me, like, getting stuff off my chest doesn't have to do with, like, talking about happy-go-lucky stuff. It just doesn't... For me, it doesn't fit with the whole...
It's whatever you need to say.
Like, I don't want to be yelling about... Like, how great I think my dog's new dog collar is, you know? I mean, it just doesn't... So to me, it's like you watch the news or, you know, just listening to radio or anything, and you hear just the fucked up shit that people do or just being frustrated and not knowing what to do about it. You know, it's like... And then what are you doing? You're writing a song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that important either, but it's like... You're just doing something to do it. I mean, for me, it's like, fuck, I'm frustrated. I feel all these things. I can talk people's ear off about it, but then they're just like, oh, yeah, you're the conspiracy guy.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, great. That's less. I just want to keep talking about the government. But you can write a song about it, and everyone's like, oh, cool, sounds good, you know?
Uh-huh.
And say these, like, I don't know, getting, for me, it's just like trying to put your thoughts in order and then trying to just make it into a song, which is the hardest part, really.
Right.
I mean, because if you listen to a lot of great songs or that are deemed great songs and then you actually just read the lyrics, they're usually not that different or anything great. But then you listen to the song and you're like, oh, man. But then sometimes you have those times where the lyrics are awesome and the song's great. And I don't know.
Awesome.
I think that's the thing that I probably strive for in trying to write songs. I don't know. That's me.
I think we were lucky because we got to make a video using footage from a documentary called The Take about Argentina.
Okay.
And that was something that really, like, I was very interested in, about the workers taking the factories over
right.
after the economic collapse. And to me, that was, like, fucking amazing, watching people, like, take over their factories, get rid of the bosses, and try to learn how to run things by themselves. And they were super successful. But the Take documents this. It's made by Naomi Klein. She's an author, and her husband, Abby Lewis, who's a filmmaker, television person. And they went down to Argentina, and they filmed all this great footage. And we were lucky enough to be able to – I actually interviewed Abby, that's right, for a radio show. And then I got to sort of know him, and I asked him about using the footage, and he was totally cool. So it just sort of fit, and it was at the right time, and things were there, and we were able to use it. But, you know, that song to me is really important because it's really about, you know, people putting their ass on the line and doing something and winning. You know?
Right. Yeah. And the, you know, the uplifting thing of really people lifting themselves up and taking over and taking a stand and like, you know, taking over a factory. That's wow. Yeah. So that was the
hundreds of factories, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. It's virtually unknown. I mean, I didn't even know about it until Chris, you know, I think I might have actually heard the interview. Did you do the interview?
I did the interview with Abby
KPFK.
On, yeah.
Yeah. And I heard that and it was like blown away. And then Chris was like, I want to write a song about this. And the funny thing about that was that you even just had the chorus. You're like, I want a chorus that sounds like this. And then wrote the song around it. And it's great, you know.
Do you think there's any possibility of us doing that in this country? Taking back factories?
Oh, I thought you meant writing more songs where the choruses were first. Like, chorus first songs. I think it probably happens a lot. I don't know.
I don't think it's possible until there's until the dollar collapses and there's really a serious...
That's what it took for Argentina.
Yeah. No, I think any...
Because
kind
of one
of
the main things
like that
happened in that story, yeah. or in what happened, was that the dollar started collapsing there in Argentina, and
right.
so they just started taking all the money out of the country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that like, it was like droves and droves of armored trucks just leaving the country.
Yeah,
correct?
It's the IMF and World Bank policies really caused the collapse down there because of the neoliberal policies that they took in the 90s, and it destroyed the economy. And literally, the rich, the banks closed, they wouldn't let people access their money on ATMs, and the people who ran the government and the rich literally put the shit in almost like garbage truck style, like, you know, and drove them in line, hundreds of them down the street with surrounded by police escort, just taking the money out of the country.
Wow.
And everybody saw this. I mean, it's crazy.
It's like our own depression 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, with armed guards and.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically, you know, and it brought, what happened was, is the middle class realized that they were fucked, and they joined a massive protest, you know, mm-hmm. with the poor. And there were hundreds of thousands of people in the street. They went through like 5 or 6 presidents in 2 weeks. I mean, it was, people were pissed. And like, and people are like, had to feed their families. And they're like, fuck it. We're going to take these factories over. I'm going to run it ourselves.
Yeah.
And it happened, you know, the Brookman factory, Zanon factory. It was crazy. And I thought that won't happen here until people are facing those kind of conditions.
Until you have like extremely skilled workers completely and millions and millions and millions of them completely out of jobs and destitute. Because
mm-hmm.
that was the other thing, is that it wasn't like it was just, you know, completely disadvantaged people that, you know, hadn't had these kind of management positions or didn't know how to run factories or anything before. It was like you had everybody from the top down that were just workers that instantly just became completely disadvantaged.
Instant poverty.
And people that already knew. And I think that that's the most powerful thing about that story, is that it's people that already knew how to run everything because they'd been running it. They just never got paid for the amount that they should have because the money all goes to the top and then leaves. And then they realized that they actually, everybody knew how to do it because they'd been doing it for years. And so then they go, oh, well, maybe we don't need that guy or those two guys up in the office up top, because right. we already know. I mean, we've been doing this for years. Yeah. So I don't know. But I don't think there's that kind of fright here with the middle class.
And there's so...
I mean, the dollar's still strong, you know.
Yeah.
It's still...
And corporate life is so entrenched in our society here. I mean, it's going to be, you know.
Well, and just, I mean, there's still enough money. I mean, that's just like, for whatever reason, whether it's fake money or real money or, you know, or it's just not.
Or John.
There's a lot of really poor people that are really fucked.
Yeah.
But the majority of the middle class, even though it's slowly going down, a lot of jobs are leaving. And or I guess one of the one thing that I heard the other day was that now there's more money. We make more money now in trading money than we do in any manufacturing or commerce.
Yeah, speculation.
There's actually more money made in speculation and just trading money, just bank to bank.
Right.
You know, and so, and when you have an economy like that, it just can't.
The other thing I want to add is that the it's about, I think this country more than any is people are very obedient and fearful, and I think that's bred into us. It's, and I remember, I'll never forget a friend of mine saying one time, he goes, "This is the only country that at 3 a.m. when the streets are empty, that people sit at a red light waiting for it to turn green." Mm-hmm. You know, there's a sense of fear and, you know, authority. And he goes, you know, in Latin America, there's still a sense of, you know, empowerment.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, Argentina isn't going to put up with that shit, right? Whereas Americans are so inculcated and, I think, you know, indoctrinated since day one to either take orders or give them.
And they got
it's really hard to break out of that mindset.
And they got to a point where there really wasn't anything more to fear. No one's going to take your money away from you. All the money's gone.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and your neighbor's and your neighbor's money's gone, and all the people you work with's money's gone.
Yeah.
So everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah. You're interesting.
Like, but what are we going to do? You're not going to just sit there and starve.
Fascinating scenario. So we listened to Argentina, which was track 7 on your CD. Let's listen to another song. Do you want to listen to Love Money? All right, let's do it. You're listening to Standing Room Only here on killradio.org. We're in the studio with Sabretooth Tiger. Don't go away. More Standing Room Only after this song.
Who's got the show after you?
Yeah!
Hey, yeah. We're back. Standing room only. Here with Sabretooth Tiger. What's the story? What's the news?
Do you guys want to talk about San Diego? You know, Che. I mean, Chris used to book the Che Cafe for a little bit.
Yeah, that's
really?
Yep.
I worked at the Che for a couple years, and then for about 4 years, there was a community effort for booking bands. So we had we had meetings every week to do, you know, it's like kind of a collective.
Okay.
Set up bands, and we had shows every weekend.
He said the drummer from Green Day was a dick.
Really?
I mean, you didn't say that. I heard that somewhere. Just kidding.
No, I did say that.
Yeah, I know. Actually, that was our very first show ever was at the Che Cafe in San Diego.
Right. Oh, you just killed one of my best questions. Now I've got nothing to talk about.
What was our first show ever?
Well, what do you think was your best show ever? Like, what was your favorite place to play that you've ever played?
Favorite place?
Yeah, or just favorite.
I don't think I could give it. Well, Mexico was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
What was going on
there? We played in Mexicali.
Yeah.
And we went down there
that borders down on Texas, right?
No, it's California. But it's Calexico is on one side and Mexicali on the other.
Okay.
Get it?
Mexicali, Calexico.
Yes.
It's kind of the same town, but the Mexicali part of the town is actually really like a big town, big city.
Uh-huh.
And they have a big film school there, and it's like where one of the biggest colleges in Mexico is. And then Calexico is a total shithole.
Nice.
The California side is a total desert town with like four bars and the hottest place I've ever been.
115 degrees.
Yeah. And Mexicali is like a big city. It's
we
really
played
good.
At like an art space, and our friend Marco, who used to have a show on Kill Radio, and we used to work together, and he's from Mexicali. He set it up. It was one of the funnest times because we drove down there with...
It was the funnest and weirdest.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
What was the weirdest thing about it?
Go ahead.
Well,
it
was one of the hottest days of the summer. Was it last summer?
Yeah.
So it was in like July, and you're basically going to play a show outside in the desert. And we, at one point, I have the new Black Level record.
Yeah, we got to play one of those songs.
Definitely.
When we got down to Calexico, before we went over the border, it was probably like 100. Yeah, it's that one in your right hand. It was like 115 or something, I think. Mm-hmm. Easily. And it was like 11 o'clock in the afternoon. And we stopped at this bar and just like totally open the door of the bar, and you hear the and everyone just goes, just a bunch of old like cowboy dudes just
turn around
and look at you.
It's like that scene in
just really slow, because the only thing to do out there in the summer is like
sit
you
in
work for a little while
bars.
And then you're like, fuck it, I'm going to the bar, because it's the only place in town that has air conditioning. And it had the two crows, like the cartoon crows, like the black crows end up using those crows that, I don't know, the like from the 60s or whatever, like Walt Disney crows.
Right.
Totally wasted on the outside of the bar, like sitting
nice.
In cactuses.
Painted
and
on the side of the bar.
Nice.
The other, I just have to say real quick, the one other weird incident is us on the, we got a motel. It was it was fucking hot, but even in the motel, we were sweating. But we got on the roof, and then we went over to the edge of the roof, and we were watching bar dancers walk around, these girls in lines walk around the bars while all these guys were looking up their skirts, and it was like, whoa. And so we just sat, all of us.
I mean, they were up on the bars.
You know, it's like one of those places. It's like not a strip club, but it's like
But it was an open-air bar. Like, the bar was outside in the back.
But it was a spectacle. It was like you're on top of this hotel's roof with 15 of us.
And the roof had no railings or anything.
So we all just sat there drinking beers, hanging our feet over, watching the action down below. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. And when we drove in, we drove into the hotel, like the parking was underneath, but not even underneath, kind of like on the first level. And you drove in, and then you checked in like straight out of your car door. Like, you just rolled the window down, and they like closed the gate right behind you. And probably like the most insanely tattooed, meanest looking dudes I've ever seen in my life, just staring at you you as you go in, and the people at the hotel going, "You probably shouldn't go outside tonight."
No, Marco, who grew up in the town, says, Marco. He's like, wow. Yeah, you guys just stay in here. Don't
worry. He's like, just trust me, don't go out on the street, because I don't want to have to, I mean, we don't have to want to go searching for you or anything. He's like, no, but it's fine, though. Like, just don't go outside, but we'll just drink beers on the roof.
Nice.
Watching the craziness. But yeah, it was fun.
Let's play some music. We've got Black Level Embassy here.
Yes.
What's the story behind this?
They're the other band from Australia that they came out here and we played with. But we also went on tour with them when we went to Australia last November.
Yeah.
So it's basically Black Level, Embassy, The Nation Blue are good friends. And we played with both of them down there, and they're awesome
guys.
They
took us out with them on tour
and
showed us kangaroos and stuff.
What is it, just one track on here?
No, it's a whole record. But
which one do you want to play?
Maybe try track two.
Track two coming up. I can't really tell on the back what that is.
Yeah, it's
in
Australian.
Yeah, it's in Australian. Is that Settle Down, John? Is that what we're going to listen to? All right. Excellent. Yeah, I tried spinning it. I tried spinning it the other direction. I couldn't read it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Australia, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So let's listen to some Black Level Embassy. We'll be back on Standing Room Only talking to Sabretooth Tiger. See ya. Indeed. Wouldn't you want to listen to Standing Room Only right here on Kill Radio?
Nice. Do they call that a segue?
That is,
or is
a
that
Segway.
Just a scooter with the two wheels?
Yeah, the Segway is going to. This Segway is actually going to revolutionize the world.
Yeah,
unlike the other Segway.
You just put on some fucking hot sunglasses.
Oh yeah, you like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I'd get serious with you guys. Let you know I mean business.
Yeah, it's like poker. I'm like, I can't see your beady eyes.
That's right. You don't know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
Am I going to talk? Am I going to be completely silent?
Fuck, we'll never know from your eyes. Although I'm going to call you on a silent on that one. I had a feeling.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's pretty cool, actually. I like that track.
Those guys are good. They only record on tape because they're Neanderthals. But other than that.
And yet that tape fit really well in my CD player.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah, because they turned their tape into digital, which totally, to me, I don't understand.
So they record originally on tape.
Yeah. They recorded with Bob Weston, who is one of the other members of Shellac.
Now, do they know that you're using their CD case to hold your other CDs?
Yeah,
just
really they know that.
Just a placeholder?
Yeah.
All right.
And that their CD I brought in, I just put in my pocket.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to damage the other one.
You just stuck it in your pants.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
I use it as a diaper, but not to wipe, just in case.
Just to hold.
As a just in case, yeah.
I have to say.
Mate.
He can fit his little thing through that little hole.
Yeah, I can. My turds. He's talking about my turds. Yeah. I poop through the hole in the CD.
I guess you know this, Chris, because you guys have some sort of contest or...
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I actually like my poos to be...
When he gets drunk, he talks a lot about sticking it through the CDs.
Yeah. Well, it's actually... And I use it for both because I like my...
play CDs.
I like my poos to be perfectly uniform.
Well, he thinks he starts spinning it around thinking he can play it. Like, dude, you're not a CD player. Just... You need to stop drinking right now.
Yeah. I'm like, look, it's a big... It's like someone stepped on my cock ring and flattened it. Like I put my cock ring on the train tracks. It got really big and flat.
I love unregulated radio. I mean...
I don't know. Can't you just say, you know... Don't you just wish this was on real radio?
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, this is the, real radio, my friend.
On the...
Real fucking hard to listen to.
Yeah, real hard to listen to.
Real hard to find.
Yeah. Really hard to find.
But thanks for listening, those of you who are. We appreciate all our callers, even the ones who just got out of prison.
Yeah, I wish someone else would call.
When did Chris,
let's get fans. That's our next step. The thing with our next record is we're going to get fans. And then
crazy.
I know. That's what I said. But I mean, we've been going over it, and we put together a 5-point program.
If you want to go in that direction, that's up to you.
Yeah. But I mean, we're putting together an organization.
I don't see the payoff.
It's called... Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, too. Who wants a bunch of fucking whiny little kids that are just like, hey, I like you so much.
Just throwing their money at you.
Hey, guess what? I like your songs. How about a shirt?
Fuck off.
Just like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck your
you
cash.
See, you guys are punk. Don't tell me you're not punk.
I'm like, we do this for me and Chris. If we didn't... I mean, the only reason that we play live is so we can feel like total assholes.
No, it's the free beer, dude.
The beer. Well, it's the four free beers for the three of us. Yeah. And the problem is we have to rock, paper, scissors for the fourth Tecate. That's what I... Okay. You
in
know
the
what?
Can. In the can.
Fuck bars that you play at that don't pay you. And it doesn't matter because they book you. They ask you to play, which you're like, all right, cool, promote it. You know we don't have any fans. We might bring a couple friends. That's cool, but, you know, it's supposed to just be fun, I guess, because you're obviously booking us. And so at least give us a six-pack. They pay marginal rates for a six-pack. They get that shit for almost nothing.
All right, let me tell you what I did when we did the Kill Radio. So you guys are going to have to play at the next big benefit thing we put on.
Oh, let's do it.
Because at the Kill Radio thing I put on in Mr. T's Bowl, I brought in cases, plural, of beer for all the bands who volunteered to play there.
That's awesome.
And I was like, hell yeah, you're going to be able to get drunk.
And you probably, would you pay like $31 for three cases of beer or something?
Well, I stole them, so I didn't pay anything.
Oh, perfect.
Will
be our manager?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'll be your manager. I don't have to do anything, right? You know I have no skills whatsoever.
You just have
to
steal beer for shows.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect.
I can do that.
Chris, we have a manager. You cool with that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
If I find another old lady, you know.
Although there's no beer in this radio show right now. I'm a little concerned about that. We can negotiate.
Well, this was my problem was that I had two.
And you drank them both, you son of a bitch.
I had two 16-ounce beers. Well, I didn't know you didn't have one.
I know.
Well, I should have looked. There was a fridge there. I thought maybe you were holding
it. Usually I bring it in.
Well, I looked and I was like, okay, 2 hours. Do I need to go to the liquor store? I have two 16-ounce beers in my fridge. I'm like, two hours.
What do you think of the Beamish draft in a can?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's the first time I've ever had it.
Do you think it's better than the Guinness draft in a can?
No, Guinness always will kill everything.
It's true.
Guinness destroys.
True.
You pour it on your plants. Yes, the iron's good, but the rest of the stuff just kills them right away.
You know what, though? The iron, don't let anybody trick you with it, that Guinness is healthy, because it's not the kind of iron that your body can.
Are you trying to tell me that beer is not healthy?
Well, no, that the iron is, because a lot of people say, oh, no, Guinness is good because it has iron in it.
Guinness is good for you.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's
makes you think straight.
It's not the iron that's good for you. Because I was actually talking to a brain scientist.
An ironologist.
A brain doctor. And he was like, someone brought that up and he just looked at them and he went, it's not the kind of iron that your body can use. And then he went back. And I was like, that's from
an ironophile is what they call them.
Party killer.
He knows everything about
What a buzzkill.
I know. I'm like, and it was to a girl.
So then you took his beer.
What an a-hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say asshole.
A-holes, man.
I punched him in the ass.
You punched him straight in the ass.
Good thing you had an ass doctor, because you're fucked now.
And he had it coming. And you know what? If anyone else tries to tell us that the iron in Guinness isn't good for us, we're going to punch you straight in the ass.
I'm like, I'll punch you right in the proctology.
That's right. Amateur proctologist. Well, I think this show is taking a turn for the better. We're almost out of time, though, guys. So we got.
He said the next guy doesn't even barely show up. I mean, you didn't say that. I heard that.
Yeah, but I got important shit to do. I got to go.
Oh, fuck, you're right.
Just kidding. There's probably other stuff we need to know about you before we go. So, you going on tour? When's the tour start?
The 17th.
One more time?
17th? Friday at the Echo.
Excellent. Right here in Los Angeles, the Echo and Echo Park. Check that out. Your website again is?
It's 2 weeks, actually, from today. It's a website is sabertoothtiger.net.
.net.
And
by the way, I noticed that .com is almost available, so we need to check up on that.
Jump on that.
Yep.
We shouldn't have said that over the air.
Yeah.
I was just joking.
Now someone's going to try to sell it to you for like a gazillion million dollars.
And
some squatter.
Fucking bastards. And you'll negotiate that for us, manager.
I'm going to be the one who's trying to sell it.
Give them free beer.
I'm going to go home and buy that. I'm going to buy it before you even leave the studio.
You'll be like,
right here.
You guys got to pay this amount. It's a good deal. Who is it?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know. Some dude.
Yeah.
Some dude named Don Jaley.
Yeah.
Were you bummed about the Daily Show thing? You're like, that's this fucking
Yeah,
thing
how many times are people going to steal my good ideas?
Exactly.
Reminds
fuck them.
Office Space.
Yeah.
Michael Bolton.
No.
Right.
Why should I change my fucking name? He's the one that sucks.
Right.
Best line in a movie in that year.
Anything else you guys want to say before we go here? And we're going to leave with one of your songs.
I have one thing to say.
Yeah.
But I want Chris to. Chris will finish it out because he has better things to say than me. More. He has more. He makes more sense than I do. But to bring up that point, there is a collegiate basketball player named Aaron Farley that was doing pretty well in the stats.
Until you punched him in the asshole.
Well, I just want to tell anybody that's playing against him, I don't want him hurt at all. But I'm saying that sometimes floor's a little slippery and there might be a good $100 in there for you. Because
send your lawsuits to...
Because you're bummed if you're the
Killer
dude
that
named Michael Jordan for 18 years until Michael Jordan became famous. And then you're like, oh, great, the rest of my life is fucked.
Send all legal
inquiries.
There is a
jazz player named Chris Burnett.
Yeah.
But that's cool, though. He's a jazz player.
There's a famous golfer named John Daly, and he is a fucking asshole.
Oh, wait. You're right. John Daly's fucking awesome.
I used to get his email because I had johndaly.com, and I would get the weirdest shit.
Did you save him?
Yeah, I got him all. I'm going to publish it.
Oh,
you
got to put it in a book.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I didn't even think of that because John Daly is the best golfer ever. John Daly is the only reason that they made drinking illegal on the PGA
Tour.
He's
the best drinker ever.
They actually had to make
golfer ever.
They had to make drinking and smoking illegal. They had to just nix it from the PGA Tour because he was getting so wasted and he was winning. And then once they He was doing great, and he was loaded.
Him up,
yeah, and he's smoking like he had his polo shirt like half unbuttoned, and then he was wasted, and then they made them so they couldn't drink on tour, and he stopped playing because he started playing horribly. He couldn't play sober.
I got his personal email sometimes, and I got an email once that said, "Hey, you know, I'm glad you came out." And, you know, came out and stayed and visited with my wife and me. But I've got to tell you, I think you owe my wife an apology. You said some really horrible stuff to her. And
really?
You need to.
I'll put this book.
I have that email.
I will publish this book for you. Would you like to publish it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's make this happen. Because that's one of the best. Even if it's only like 20 pages, a little softcover book, I will have
printed and published. They put my email address on his website. And when I asked them to take it down. They were total pricks about it. So, yeah, I'm all for doing this.
Oh, awesome. Man. You shouldn't have done that. Years and years of... I mean, it's got to be like
the
drunkest
email. No, they never took
it
down. That's how they were being pricks.
Oh, really?
They just left it there. They were like, fuck you.
And then you're like...
yeah.
But so then you realize John's not going to be getting
just
email.
Just the money raking and that's fine.
Hey,
that's
cool. Douchebag, John Daly doesn't have a computer.
Yeah.
It's all a ruse.
Right, yeah, unless he thinks his, you know, six-pack of malt liquor is his computer.
Oh, maybe he does. How do you open this thing?
But to end on a
positive
note.
How do I open Windows on this?
Chris, did you have anything else you want to say before we go here?
That's how I wanted to end it.
I do want to say that
The
Nation Blue is a fucking really good band live.
Awesome.
And I really want people to come out and check them out. You can just miss our show. It's all good. But check out The Nation Blue.
Yeah.
They're really, really good live. And
are you going to leave me some tickets for that show?
Yes.
No. I mean, free beer for
maybe
tickets.
Yeah. We'll see. Yes, sure.
All right.
If you have a van that we can drink in outside, you will be on the guest list.
You heard it at home, folks.
There you go.
Set in stone. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It's been great, actually. So, and I'm really good. You brought up that whole situation in Argentina. I thought that was some really good stuff. So thank you, guys.
Thanks.
I think I'm gonna come check out your show at the Echo. It's gonna
be
awesome.
Awesome.
Let's hear one more song before we go here. What do you want to hear?
I don't know. What do you think, Aaron?
The '60s.
The
Strange Store. Taking Pills.
Elephant Army.
Elephant Army.
Death Valley.
Let's do some Elephant Army.
Yeah.
I say why.
Let's do Elephant Army.
Not.
That was actually the last song that we recorded on that, and that's the only one that has Dave Ferrara, our drummer extraordinaire.
All right.
There you go.
Very cool.
Who's on tour with multiple bands, always playing drums, and always rocking it.
Sabretooth Tiger, and this has been John Daly for Staying Room Only on Kill Radio. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week. The brand new band, the brand new story. Bye-bye.
This is John Daly, and you are listening to the Daily News Minute on killradio.org. Friday, August 3rd, 2007. Air raids kill hundreds in Afghanistan. Residents of the Afghan southern province of Helmand told journalists that women and children were among the 300 people who were killed on Thursday after air raids by Western forces. Artists sue Carnegie Hall to halt eviction. New York. A group of artists sued Carnegie Hall in the city of New York on Thursday to halt a plan to evict them from areas above the performance institution where they live and work. Court rules FBI violated constitution in raid on congressman. Washington. The FBI violated the Constitution when agents raided U.S. Representative William Jefferson's office last year and viewed legislative documents in a corruption investigation, a federal appeals court ruled Friday. Structurally deficient bridges across America. With the collapse of the I-35W bridge in Minneapolis, the state of America's bridges have been brought to the forefront. The Washington Post writes, according to a 2005 Highway Administration report, more than 75,000 of the nation's roughly 600,000 bridges, 13.1% were rated structurally deficient, meaning some components of the bridge's decks or support structures were rated poor or worse. While not necessarily unsafe, the structurally deficient designation often requires speed and weight restrictions to lessen the risk of collapse. This has been John Daly reporting for the Daily News Minute on killradio.org.
My current car only has one station on the AM radio, and it picks up a conservative radio station. So if I wanted to listen to the radio while